Good morning. The time is 8:07, a gorgeous start here in downtown Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. The temperature stands at 54 degrees, lots of blue skies, lots of sunshine. It is a hump day Wednesday, May the 8th of 2024. It is the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up on this program, we are chock full of folks coming and visiting me because there are times I get lonely here in our downtown studios, and it's nice to have folks come on by. In the second hour of the show, we will be talking to Grand Theater Executive Director and the Executive Director of the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation, Sean Wright, talk about what's happening at the Grand as they get towards the end of another very successful season. So that's coming up in the early part of hour number two. And then also in hour number two, somebody we normally have on Tuesdays, but due to scheduling conflicts, we pushed him back to Wednesday. And at 9:34 this morning, we'll be talking to a Chad Daly of the Marathon County Public Library about what's happening at the library as we get towards the summer months. And they always have a lot of different activities when we get to the summer. So we will talk to Chad Daly about what's happening there in hour number two. I will introduce my guest for hour number one in just a moment. But before we go any further, need to say good morning to our in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
I know he's a busy man. He's still, 3 weeks away, or what? Yeah, 3 weeks away from opening night.
3 weeks from this to Friday.
Yeah, so yeah. Have a good rehearsal last night?
Yes, it was very productive.
All right, very good. We'll get more into that later in the program, but need to say good morning to Bob Luck. Bob, back in with as he joins us every other Wednesday for the first hour of the program. Bob, good morning.
Good morning.
How are things going with you?
Just because of lack of sleep, because the Stanley Cup playoffs are underway, and they've got those West Coast games that start at 9 o'clock, and then just for fun, they go into overtime, and the next thing you know, it's pretty late at night.
I tell you, there is nothing like playoff overtime, is there? I mean, it really isn't. I mean, and people, there's a lot of people, a lot of things people say, and I hate using the term people, but a lot of folks who follow sports on a regular basis, no matter what sport it is. I mean, last week, I think there's a good comparison. There was a very exciting NBA playoff game between the Knicks and the Sixers that went to overtime.
Yeah.
But it's not the same.
Because you never know when it's going to end.
Exactly. I mean, it was a thrilling game. It was very exciting. But boy, with hockey. And we saw it in Game 7 on Saturday night between the Leafs and the Bruins, where a bounce, where just the bounce of the puck ends up in the right spot, and Pastrnak is able to rip it home and rip the heart out of the Leafs again as they look for their first cup since 1967. Yeah. I mean, it is just, and you can go back to some famous Badger hockey games in overtime. I mean, they won a national championship, I think it was in 77 against Michigan in overtime. I mean, hockey just has that specialness.
Mike Eaves face-off victory. and it was like they were just doing a face-off, and instead of Eaves drawing the puck to one of his fellow players, he just hit it towards the net, and the goalie wasn't awake at the point in time. Puck got past him, and it was like in a blink of an eye. There it is.
There are no bad shots in overtime.
Well, as a coach, when I used to coach juniors, it never was a bad move to send it towards the opponent's net.
Yep.
It's just not a bad move, ever.
Also, I know we'll talk more about, because you write about the Brewers on your Facebook site, and just keep a close eye on it. Are we going to be talking about Willie Adames' called shot like we talk about Babe Ruth's called shot in 1932? Probably not.
I don't think it has the historical. Of course, you know, back then in the Ruthian days, they didn't have television.
They have grainy pictures.
Yeah, it's like...
I remember this book I was reading. It has a grainy picture of Babe Ruth actually holding his bat. It could be anything.
He could just be standing there like, just stretching. Who knows? But the point being, it was an exciting game last night. I think the Brewers did need a little shot in the arm.
Oh, man, did they.
Glad that they came up with that hit. Of course, they come right back this afternoon for another game. Again, win the series. That's the one... The one motto I like to live by, you got to win your series against the team that you're playing. So see if they can do that this afternoon.
Also, I would like to remind folks you can join us by watching on our video stream at facebook.com and x.com under Bow Falls Radio. And also, you can join us if you have a thought on what we're talking about. You can join us, give us a call or a text. It's our call and text line, 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 to join us here on the program as well. I forwarded, because I talked earlier in the week, because you ran for office 2 years ago. You've run for office previously, and I just found this letter to the editor to be the most whiny, whiny little thing that I've ever seen in my life, but I haven't run for office. But my first thought is I'm going to let Bob come in after 2 years and start whining about what happened to him, but we're not going to do that. But
I've never did it.
No, you did not. But the thing about it was that it's a bigger issue, because nowadays it's just that, instead of just trying to do the job, trying to, you know, realize that, hey, I'm fortunate enough to be part of the county board for a certain period of time and then lost a very close election. And then a month later, it's almost as though, because the election was on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in April, and now we're already a week into the month of May, and all of a sudden I see this letter to the editor talking about all the whiny, basically a checklist of complaints about what happened in the campaign. And beyond the specifics of that election, I just think it's something that has become more of a feature of our lives, of the ability, I guess. And I guess, you know, in the past, that was the only way you could whine, was letters to the editor. Nowadays, you can whine any way you want through all the social media. But I just thought, again, it's an indicative of where we stand in politics.
They did the recount, and I guess they found two more votes for the person
for
who actually
Conway,
won.
Bill Conway.
Yeah, Bill. And it's like, and what if it would have, you know, turned, you know, one... You have that right to ask for a recount. In fact, I think it's mandatory in the state if it's a certain percentage difference in the voting. Because, again, you do have the possibility that a vote may, or two or three, not many, just get miscounted. Not by some conspiracy theory means where someone is trying to steal an election. It's, you know, it's just a mathematical. It's nice to it's just like a bank. I mean, a bank audits itself. You check your checking account to make sure that you've got enough money in the account to pay for the checks that you just wrote. But, you know, sometimes you lose track of the number, but you keep constant vigilance on. They checked it out. They find it's fine. But then start getting into a kind of a rave about, well, if that would have happened to him, just think of, well, guess what? It didn't.
Well, the thing that really, it wasn't even about the recount. That was, he started off by saying that his opponent falsely claimed he wanted to ban books. And then he went into the fact that, yes, I did talk to Corporation Counsel about what the options were and how terrible it is to have these sexually explicit books in the children's section. So basically he said, okay, I was looking for a way to get rid of books, but I wasn't successful.
Here's my question. Give me examples of sexually explicit books in the children's section. I want to see this sexually, emphasizing, and then see it for yourself. And you go, What? Oh, they held hands or something. Come on, folks.
And frankly, it's an issue. That's been an issue on the board for a couple of years now, and he's upset that it was a discussion during the election campaign. I mean, come on. It was so whiny and ridiculous, and then he went on about three different other issues, and then he finishes up by putting in all capital letters, "I'm a proud constitutional conservative."
Here's another thing. When I hear somebody call themselves a constitutional conservative, which constitution are you looking at? The one that was written or the one you think was written? Read it.
Yes.
And read it word for word. And it just seems that they only want to, you know, point out the parts that they agree with. The ones they don't agree with, they don't exist as far as they're concerned. Folks, you know, sometimes you have a bad day and you sit down and you start writing some things down.
A month later?
And
he had a lot of bad days.
He had a lot of bad days leading up to it. But the point being is, you know, okay, fine. As soon as someone says, you know, that there's sexually explicit material in the kids section at the library, okay, give me some examples. Lay them out. I want to see exactly what you're talking about.
I just want to see if these elections run on a higher plane. I know in the history of this country that has probably been out of reach, but right now, I mean,
they're following the lead by the world's worst loser.
Exactly. And it's like nobody is willing to show a profile and courage and say, doggone it, we got to move past this, and we got to move past this Trump era of Republicanism, but it's basically become the Trump Party. I mean, really, even you know, having Laura Trump running the Republican National Committee and funneling money to the campaign straight off the top, it is so wrong on every level.
That's their deal. If they want to run their party that way, fine. That's where the American people have to look up and take notice and say,
And I will say, and I know you probably, you know, don't want me to say this, but I mean, the way that you ran your campaign 2 years ago, when you would come in here, you did not want to get into a bleeping match with your opponent. You always said it was about talking to the voters, talking about the commonalities, trying to take that and talk about the issues. And
yeah, the very, very, very seldom times that we got together in a forum, you know, the first words out of my mouth was, I'm not here to sit there and point fingers. I'm here to let's discuss this as adults and let the chips fall where they may.
We got to take a quick time out. Brittany Merlot coming up in 1 minute here on Bull Falls Radio.
Me too. I don't know. It all depends. It changes.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, plus again on our Facebook page and our X page, the Bull Falls Radio Facebook and X pages, where you can watch our video streams. And again, also you can join us, give us a call or a text if you either agree or disagree with anything that myself and Bob is talking about today, 715-382-9297. But before we go any further, it's very happy to welcome back on this beautiful Wednesday morning our meteorologist Brittany Merlot. And Brittany, good morning.
Good morning, Chad and Bob. How are you guys doing?
Doing real wonderful. This is a gorgeous start to the day.
Well, we got to thank our meteorologist for the great weather.
She's responsible for it.
Because yesterday, everybody's blaming her for the rain and the heavy rain and the drencher that we saw yesterday. And now it just turns into just a perfect morning. I mean, really, if you look out, we're very fortunate to have the big window here at our downtown studios, looking outside, see the blue skies and the sunshine, temperature already into the 50s. I mean, this is why we suffer through those cold days in January and February to have days like this.
Absolutely. It is gorgeous out there. Today is going to be just fantastic all day long for us as well. This is also why we live so much further north, because we are going to miss out on the rain chances that are rolling through again tonight for the southern half of the state. So we don't even have to worry about that after we picked up about a 3/4 of an inch to nearly an inch of rain yesterday. Whew.
Yeah, and had some pretty good storms that came through in the southern part of the state last night, right?
They did. There was actually a tornado warn storm that hit into Walworth. And I know that a barn was damaged over in the Illinois border. And then as it crossed into the state, it, of course, knocked down some big tree limbs and knocked out power.
Yeah.
Then it got severe warned. And as it continued in towards Milwaukee, it rewarned to a tornado again. Mm. And of course, there's hail damage and some big gusty winds up there as well. So yeah. Severe weather to the south, even in Michigan, there's a tornado too. So we avoided all of that. Just some heavy downpours.
Yeah, and part of our national newscast, we heard about that Michigan tornado. And is it a little early for some of this severe weather? We've seen this already a couple of times, and we've missed it. And you've talked about it. We've been pretty close to it because of that, the line between some of that warmer air and cooler air. Is this a little early for some of these significant tornadic activities and severe thunderstorms?
You know, not really.
Oh, really?
This is spring. It's severe weather season. In April, a lot of the tornadoes start down into like the Mississippi, Alabama area. And then as we progress to May, it swings over to Oklahoma. You know, it is kind of rare that it's coming this far north, but it is tornado season and we are seeing our temperatures warming overall. I mean, it's El Nino, the extreme heat tornado in February in Wisconsin, so May makes more sense than February.
All right, well, as you said, I mean, we're gonna probably, you know, skirt some of that rain that's going to be hitting south of here, maybe even south of the state line. But generally, what is the forecast for the rest of the work week?
Yeah, absolutely. Bright, beautiful skies here today. Don't forget the sunglasses. We're gonna stay mild. Highs will hit 70 degrees today. Feeling great. If you're headed further to the south, there's going to be some mid-70s, but that's where it's going to become cloudy tonight and actually stay cooler down to the south tomorrow as that rain strikes there. Here for us, we could see a few spotty sprinkles scrape us after 5 o'clock, but I don't think it's going to make it here because we're going to start to see a north breeze push on in. So this means for tomorrow, while we will see a mix of sun and clouds, it will be breezy and it will be cooler. Highs will only be into the upper 50s tomorrow, and the rain continues south early, then it winds down. As we clear things out tomorrow night, there's actually a chance for a frost. So if you planted or did gardening, tomorrow night, cover them up, take care of them, and then Friday, bright, beautiful, good stuff, mid-60s.
All right.
Very good. We'll leave all the stormy weather in those Manhattan courtrooms, and we'll have it be nice around here. Nice sunny skies and spring weather. Brittany,
we'll take it.
Brittany, thank you very much. Have a great rest of your Wednesday, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Have a good one, guys.
Bye, Brittany.
Right now, fair skies, 54 degrees in downtown Wausau. Winds are out of the northwest at 7 miles per hour. The dew point is 49 degrees. Relative humidity of 83%. The barometer at 29.65 inches and a visibility of 10 miles.
And if you're watching in on the stream here, I'm wearing this beautifully bright blue shirt. You know, it's almost like the sky.
I tell you, you're
I'm
almost losing you because I see the cloud beyond you. It's all blue sky, and then right
in front
of me.
My head.
Yeah, it's like those weather people sometimes where they're just floating around in front of the maps.
Yeah, but for some reason, they wear green when they have the green wall behind them. And you see
honestly,
a floating
for
head.
A good news blooper.
Yes, sir. I've seen a few of those.
Oh, yeah.
Made Dick Clark a lot of money back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
But again, looks like it'll be a pretty good rest of the work week. Something before, you know, we get back into our, we were talking again. I was bemoaning the whininess in politics these days and giving you a nice compliment. And then you brought up a message that was put out there by Tom Tiffany. And again,
our congressman,
7th District Congressman Tom Tiffany.
Well, on Twitter, you know, again, I always wonder if it's a staff member who puts this stuff out there.
I think it's Tom.
Well, I don't really. But anyway, he wrote, about yesterday this time. He says, remember when Democrats gave the IRS $80 billion to go after millionaires? Well, it wasn't gave. I mean, this is legislated.
Right.
And it was signed into law to beef up the IRS to be a little bit more efficient.
And bring in more money than they're spending, you because know, there's so many people skirting the law.
Well, it says there was this article from the Wall Street Journal says that 63% of new audits as of the summer of 2023 targeted taxpayers with incomes of less than $200,000 per year. Okay, at the surface you go, oh, wow. Well, guess what? There's more people under $200,000 a year than there are people who are wealthy at $1 million or more a year. I mean, the actual raw numbers, whatever the ratio is, who knows, but 63% to, you know, sounds big, but if you're talking about the amount of money that is brought back that belongs to the government fairly, I think that if they would change that percentage around, I think you would get a different story. But
why are they so opposed to people? Because when you talk about...
Yeah, I have no trouble with...
When you talk about having rules, and they're just so against
That's as easy as I can say, just follow the rules. I've never been audited in my life.
I know, neither have I. And regulation, that's such a dirty word to Republicans. All that is are rules.
And when
rules.
When I drive in a highway, when it says speed limit 65, it's not a suggestion. It's the speed limit.
The time is 8:29. We are going to come back after an information update, get the latest news, weather, and sports, and then another half hour to go with Bob Look. Again, coming up in the next hour, Sean Wright will be joining us early on in hour number two, and then Chad Daly from the Marathon County Public Library at 9:34. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, and also at facebook.com and x.com by checking out our video stream. And you can join us by calling 715-382-9297. Either call or text 715-382-9297. Again, we are joined in the first hour, as we are every other Wednesday, by Bob Look. I know that Bob is going to be getting ready for his nap later this morning, but very happy to have him on board here today.
Well, you watch hockey till midnight and past that, it kind of wears on you.
And then it's so exciting. You can't go right to sleep at midnight either.
That's the bad part, because it usually ends on a real high note. Okay, now go to bed. Hey, stare at the ceiling for a couple of hours, and finally about 2:30, you doze off, and then the alarm goes off.
Got to come here and talk to Chad Holmes.
That's hey,
yesterday, and I apologize for throwing this maybe at you without proper preparation, but it's a general issue that's been discussed recently in the state of Wisconsin. But I saw a story as I was getting ready this morning about the Wisconsin Legislative Joint Audit Committee, which, of course, is led by the Republicans. And, of course, we know that the state legislature is not in full – they're not doing their jobs right now, but there's some committees that are still doing a little bit of work. And yesterday, the Joint Audit Committee approved the start of an audit into diversity, equity, inclusion activities across all state agencies. And the Republicans say this is going to be a very large audit that would likely go into 2025, around the time that the legislature begins gearing up to write the next state budget. But this is an issue that Robin Voss has been just wrapping his arms around. In fact, again, when he got that deal, when he basically blackmailed governor into, you know, this deal in order to get those pay raises for many thousands of university workers. He said that was just the first step in what will be our continuing efforts to eliminate these cancerous DEI practices.
It's the great search, just like all that sexually explicit material you get in the children's section of a library. Okay, give us an example, or give us some examples. Don't just throw wild, say, "Oh, this is." It seems to be that they're spending too much, or they're doing this, or what have you. Well, let's bring it on. You know, bring the people involved. Let's sit down. Let's talk. Let's have both sides. You know, ask questions and find out. You'll find out whether there's any there.
This is basically the old dog whistle. Mm-hmm. It really is. Yeah, it's just trying to tell certain members of the voting public, wink, wink, this is what we're doing here for you. and basically, and the thing about it is, there are so many conservative business people in their businesses that have used DEI practices in order to have the best people, give the opportunity where it's not just one of the things that drives me nuts, and especially within our business, sports broadcasting, is nepotism. So much of where people get the opportunities in many, many areas of American life is through who you know, or if you won the genetic lottery.
Oh.
And in a lot of businesses, this was basically bipartisan, that this is a good idea to give opportunities to make sure that people that have the abilities to be outstanding in these jobs don't fall through the cracks because they don't know the right people. That this is an opportunity to reach out to everybody to give fair representation opportunity, not to give people that have no business in a job, but to make sure that they have the opportunity to be part of the pool of applicants. And the way that Robin Voss and other conservatives talk about this issue in that evil way, like, again, this is all about trying to maintain the status quo from the 1850s, where there was a certain hierarchy. And again, so many of these businesses, and a lot of these businesses certainly aren't liberal businesses or business owners. They never had an issue with this until Robin Voss and these folks have started talking about it all the time.
Most successful business people do know that the key to them being successful is the people who work for them. Let me repeat that one more time. The successful business people, the ones that get far enough out ahead, they know the value of the employees that they have on board. Now, how they get those employees and how they treat those employees as opposed to others who are trying to get up the ladder, that's another story. I just have the strong feeling that it's another one of those keyword type of things.
Oh, absolutely.
When you say certain words that just trip people's minds. it kind of just reminds me of back, you know, the South Africa situation back when apartheid was the name of the game, where the minority of people ran the country because they were white.
And it was always that way. And they liked having the advantages.
And then, you know, and then eventually, you know, the vote was now being given to everyone, and things were starting to change. And it took some very strong people who were part of that, who were white in South Africa, who stepped forward and says, this is wrong. This should be, you know, the case of all citizens being part of the decision making. And I'm trying to remember the name of the guy who was in charge at that point in time, who basically stepped forward. That name is going to pop into my head. What I mean.
I know. I'm sorry about that.
I could have done my research again. I know that I could see his face, and that. But you know, it was something that he had to, you know, realize that. And the same thing goes with this country. You know, how the United States of America. And let me again emphasize that term, United states of America. These states were, cobbled together to try to put together a more perfect union for a better chance for everybody who's a citizen under this democracy to be a fair and equal, vested interest.
Well, that's the whole point. I think that Robin Voss and others would say, yes, we believe in equality, but this is makes it unequal the other way. No, it does. It's ridiculous. And also, you talk about using terms. The co-chair of the committee in his statement yesterday, Eric Wimberger, a Republican from Green Bay, said DEI is a, quote, neo-Marxian philosophy meant to pin one.
Those keywords.
Yes.
Marxism.
He really threw a lot at the wall here. But, quote, neo-Marxian philosophy meant to pit one socially constructed class against another and called diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts related to race or ethnicity, quote, rebranded ethnic nationalism. He added that Evers divided Wisconsinites into identity groups against each other's benefit with his 2019 executive order. Again, it's just, trying to...
In what way? I'm the person asking, how? Give me an example. What was it? And will there be? No, they'll talk around in circles. Kind of like Christy Noem in South Dakota. You ask her a direct question, you'll never get a direct answer.
No.
And again, I had a friend talked to me yesterday, says, well, you lived in South Dakota for a while. I said, yeah, I lived in South Dakota. And we had a really, I had a great time there. But the danger of those states that have a small amount of population compared to like other states. Again, the state of South Dakota has one congressperson because the population there is a little over 720,000 or something like that. And so they only have one congressman, but they have two senators.
Right. And they used to have Tom Daschle.
Tom Daschle, Tim Johnson. Yes. They were the, when I was living there, and there was a Republican governor, Governor Mickelson, who tragically lost his life in a plane crash driving to an event while I was working there. Governor Mickelson was also a very close friend to my boss at the station. He was a college friend of Tom Brokaw and my boss and owner, Tom Kearns. And so I got to know Governor Mickelson. He was a very, very good guy. I mean, he was a Republican, but as I've said before on the air here, I get along with a lot of Republicans because, there's common sense on both sides. It's when you go to the far reaches that it gets to be a little, messy. And, the state of South Dakota with a limited amount of population, you have people getting into office that sometimes are just like, how did they get there?
But it's also interesting that it wasn't that long ago that some of these what are considered now just bright red states did have Democrats that they voted for statewide. And it's not just South Dakota. It's a lot of other states around the country. And even you can say it the other way. In some of these states that are now just completely dark blue. Again, the idea that there is this incredibly wide chasm between the parties. When I don't think that it is.
I don't think there is that big of a chasm.
It's the rhetoric, isn't it?
The rhetoric, and also the chasm happens when the majority gets to be such a large majority in the elected officials that it does not represent the population of that area. And you hear about those vote results of national elections or like the governor election, the senator election being won on the Democratic side, but yet the state houses, the state Senate and the state legislature is like a 66-33
right.
Split. And it's not fair. And that's why everyone's saying, well, what's wrong with the maps the way they were? Well, they were just basically unfair.
Well, I will say this much so far in this very early part, I would say, of the statewide, the state legislative campaigns, there is more of an excitement, I think, that there's actually going to be a battle of ideas.
And there's also more people stepping forward because now they realize, hey, this is now actual a battle. When I ran for the state Senate, and I talked about this before, I knew going in, basically, I got slim and none.
You threw yourself on a grenade for the party and the state and for the people.
Well, the Democratic Party approached me to be a candidate. Otherwise, there would have been nobody on the ballot. Mm-hmm. And did I actually run to try to win? Yes, I did. But you can only do so much. You can only change so many minds. But I still, you know, wear a badge of honor that in all the districts where my name was on the ballot and Governor Evers' name was on the ballot, by my calculations, I beat him by like 3 votes. And it's not that it's anything to brag about, but it meant that there were some people there who voted for maybe because they heard talk.
Exactly. And you also brought maybe some people to the polls that otherwise would not have been to the polls who voted for Governor Evers in a very, tight election. They're all tight elections now for statewide office. So
the point being, you know, I was able to do that. I was proud of doing that. And people keep asking, are you going to run again? I said, I don't say no, but it's not something that I plan on.
But it's always just nice to know that there's a better chance where the ideas are going to come forth instead of just being a DNR where the candidates have to get out there and talk about the ideas and feel like, hey, if I'm able to switch. Thing is, if you switch 5%, it wasn't going to matter because it was a plus, 23 or something district. Yeah. So that's an amazingly skewed. But if you feel like, hey, if I'm able to get 5% of Republicans to think, hey, that guy makes a lot of sense, to have an opportunity. And now it's going to be more of that.
I'm still proud that I had nearly 30,000 people who put a check mark next to my name.
Which is very, very cool. And again, a big part of what makes the system work.
Yeah.
The time is 8:49. We're going to come back one more segment with Bob Look. Talk a little sports as Bob keeps an eye on the crew. Big win last night. So we'll talk about that and more coming up. Glad you could be with us here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, again, always glad to have Bob look in as he joins us for the first hour of the program every other Wednesday here on the show. And always like to kind of wrap things up here in our discussions, talk a little bit of what's going on in sports because it gives us a chance to, again, encourage folks to connect with Bob on Facebook because he has his Brew Crew review and he always has a lot of good stuff to make you kind of think a little bit, and that's one of the things that we would like to see more of with our social media. It's a chance to kind of think in a little bit of.
I didn't want it to just be a stat crazy. You know, so and so had 3 for 5 right. last night. I mean, you get that now. You know, on an ESPN scrolls and whatever. You know, it's just observations that I make. You know, from watching the team play, and also from listening to people who cover the Brewers on a regular basis. They're friends of mine that I, you know, stay in contact with, and they always have a little bit of an insight. Back when I was working in the Milwaukee area and covering the Brewers on a regular basis, there are so many stories, there are so many behind-the-scenes things that we were privileged to that I will never... never share with the audience.
Right.
And people go, why not? I said, because there are things that involve, people, and it's like they're still around.
And frankly, at every level of athletics, you find that out where you see a result and people really have no idea an aspect that outside the lines that could cause, a result.
And so I just, keeping myself, I do make some, comments where Gorman Thomas was the absolute worst person to interview at the end of the game. If you're a radio person because Gorman just had a tendency of using wrong verbiage.
You knew you had some editing to do, huh?
Well, and who really wanted to go back to the station? This is back before digital.
Right.
Who wants to splice together, cutting out those names they shouldn't be used or words never to be used. But, you know, but the Brewers, I'm getting a little worried about William Contreras with as much as they're playing him defensively. Right. I was glad to see his backup being able to give him some time off. But I really think that, you know, we're still only not even into mid-May yet.
35 games in.
You know, and I can see there's little things where there's balls in the dirt that he's just taking a stab at with the glove instead of getting his body in front of it. You know, playing catcher wears you down quick. Wears you down really, really quick. And I wouldn't be surprised, and I'm surprised they haven't yet made some move to bring in someone with a little bit more help that could do some catching. But I'm sure that they got some time to maybe look at that a little later, but it's going to get hotter as summer comes along, and it's going to be more of a...
Wasn't that the old theory for all those years before the Cubs put in lights that one reason they weren't able to finish off like in 69 and others was because they had to play in the heat of the sun the entire summertime?
Well, you know, that might not be a bad hypothesis.
A factor.
Because, frankly, you know, playing the game at night, a little cooler temperatures, you don't have the sun beating down on you. And you get kind of in a regular rotation. I mean, the Cubs, they still play a good amount of their games during the daytime hours. Like they when they get to a weekend series, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they basically play them all daytime.
Like last weekend.
Yeah, and which is kind of a homage to Wrigleyville and that area of businesses and that because they're so used to that, you know, the way they run things. And to be honest with you, I really wouldn't want to be stuck in Wrigley Field at night.
One interesting factor for the crew, and that right now they are still in a virtual tie with the Cubs atop the NL Central. But when you look at Milwaukee, so far this season, they have played a lot of road games. They've played 60% of their games on the road. They're 14-7 on the road. They're 7-7 at home.
Yeah.
I mean, in a sense, again, they are still beyond everything else. And, of course, the changes and the injuries, they are playing beyond what one would expect in a lot of different ways, even with the three-game losing streak that was snapped last night.
You know, they are a very young baseball team. When you look past, you know, you look past Yelich and Hoskins and Adames, and you can't look past Contreras because he's still a young guy in years. But the other people around there, and they pointed out in the telecast last night, all the other guys out there have like maybe a year and a half of experience in the majors. Andrew Monasterios, he's the ultimate, like, yeah, just put me in, coach, you know.
I'm ready to play today.
Yeah, he's I love watching him play because he'll give you a true effort. Sal Frelick is very much the same way. And you know, Blake Perkins, it was like, when they first got him, I go, well, okay, he'll... It's going to be hard to get him out of there because he's been so consistent.
One of the things that that baseball, though, always does have the ability to do is to where you have those guys that are able to maybe run on emotion, run on the juice early. 162 games is like that is the thing that always seems to be the great equalizer. And you follow baseball for forever, like myself. That is always one of the interesting things where it's the only sport where you could see it because I always go back to 86. Where the Brewers started off with 13 wins in a row, and then the very next month they lost 12 games in a row. No other sport you're going to see that.
Yeah. In fact, I went to that game at Comiskey Park to win number 13, and I remember that so vividly because we're out there at Comiskey Park, and it was like, oh, this is our year. We're just so good. And I was...
And then they bounced back, and they were still. But that was like the... I mean, that's baseball. I mean,
baseball
it really is.
Can be that way very easily. The one thing that is pretty impressive is that the Brewers have not lost four games in a row in quite some time. That is a pretty good sign that you can, you know, get a victory somehow, some way, again, I always look at every time they take on a team, win the series.
Yep.
You're playing three games, win two of them. If you're playing four, shoot for three, two minimum. And if you follow that for the year, you're going to do all right.
Bob Luck, always good to have you. And again, follow Bob. Go to a Facebook. He has his Brew Crew review. And then he also, from time to time, you'll make some pointed. I've been noticing you've been making some pointed comments about different things recently.
Me?
Yeah, just little things to think about.
Well, I try to put it in a humorous.
Yes, it is, and I like that. And again, it makes you think a little bit, and also puts a little smile on.
I had that picture of that dog behind the wheel of a car. You like. Growling at somebody, saying, it's called your directionals.
Well, thanks, Bob. Have a good nap, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Get ready for tonight's hockey.
Coming up, we'll have Sean Wright and Chad Daly in the next hour here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.